presumptuous sins, secret sins. Oh, Lord, we truly repent in our hearts if any of those things are there. If we have aught against anyone, we cast it aside right now, and we give that person to you. For tonight we look only to our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and who gave himself for us, and who is certainly coming soon for us again. So, Lord, we praise you for that. Tonight, Lord, help me to teach your word so faithfully and accurately, Lord. And may every heart be open to your great truth. Now, we love you, we praise you, we give you honor and glory tonight. In Jesus' name, and the church says, amen. Let's turn to the Old Testament book. Let's turn to the Psalms tonight, Psalm 118. We finished up with 2 Kings, and on this very first communion of 2018, normally, as you already know, we set aside the last Wednesday of each month to celebrate communion. And also during that time is a night of not necessarily any teaching, but it is a night of worship unto the Lord, and then where we gather and we pray. Amen? But to start off our first communion service of 2018, I was hoping that we would just kind of go through Psalm 118 and then celebrate communion. It's hard to believe that this is January 31st, isn't it? I mean, beginning tomorrow, we have 11 months left in 2018. 2019 will be here. Unbelievable. And with all that being said, how many of you got up early this morning and went out there and watched the lunar eclipse? Well, Lord, this church sleeps in late. Hallelujah. You know, I'm out there at 5 o'clock in the morning because I wanted to see what was going on. So I'm out there and all of a sudden I hear this crying. It's dark outside. And so my next door neighbor, I kept hearing this noise and then like a screeching and so forth. And so I'm sitting on the front porch with my binoculars, right? And I'm watching all of this. And then Billy, this guy who walks his dog early, it could be 4 o'clock in the morning, and he's walking his dog. And so I said, "Hey, Billy," I said, "are you going to watch the eclipse?" He goes, "What eclipse?" I said, "The one that's going on right now." So he turns around, you know, and he looks at it and he goes, "Do you hear that crying?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I've been hearing it every morning on my early morning walks. It's right next door to your house." I said, "Well, what is it?" He says, "Come and see." Sounded like scriptural, didn't it? So I go out there and guess what was 50 feet up in those pecan trees? Two baby kittens. Oh, yeah. Screaming to high heaven. But that's all I'm going to tell you about that. I'll tell you the rest later. Now, with all that being said, Psalm 118 tonight is literally a climax, if you will, to a group of psalms beginning in Psalm 113 through Psalm 118. They're called the Passover songs, or they're called the Hallel. Hallel means praise, okay? So they're praise psalms. We get our word hallelujah from that, you know, praise the Lord. Now, with all that being said, hours before the cross in the New Testament, remember Jesus in the upper room with his disciples, he instituted the Lord's Supper. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 26, verse 30, after he instituted the Lord's Supper, they left the upper room and they went out. And as they did, they were singing a song, or they were singing a hymn as they traveled to the Mount of Olives. Now, we know just about of a certainty that the psalm that they were singing was the psalm that we're in tonight, Psalm 118. So this first communion service of 2018, let's look at it tonight. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy," or his loyal love, "his mercy endures how long? Forever. God is good." I say that every time we meet. Amen. And you know what? Here's the thing. Such few words, but how deep they are. Well, God is so good. He's incredibly good. Everything that God does is good. And so many praise the Lord when he does good to them. But the simple fact is we ought to simply give thanks unto the Lord every day. And the reason, he is good. God is good. The psalmist has written in Psalm 119:68, "You are good and do good. Psalm 52:1, the goodness of God endures continually. And look at verse 2 now. And let Israel now say, this very moment. So as they were singing this, this is when as they were on their way to the Passover celebration, they would literally, the people that were, they would sing this song back to them. So let Israel now say, his mercy or his love endures forever. And let the house of Aaron, meaning the priest, now say, his mercy endures forever. And let those, meaning us, let those who fear the Lord now say, that's the third time, his mercy endures forever. And why? Well, I called on the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me and set me in a what? A broad place, an open space, if you will. I called. That's prayer. Prayer is the work. Amen. Don't ever stop having a quiet time. You'll regret it. Always go to your closet or your prayer, wherever you pray. Go there early in the morning and seek the Lord. This gentleman here said, I called on the Lord in my distress. Who do you call upon when you're stressed out? In your problem. You see, that word distress there means something that is restricted, something that is narrow, something where there is absolutely no room. In other words, you're suffocating because of the circumstances that you are facing in your life. It says, he set me in a broad place. Do you know why the Lord did that? Do you know why the Lord will do that for you as well? Look at the next verse. The Lord is on my side. I pray in the name of Jesus as this new year has now started, that you never forget that word. No matter what you are going through in your life, I tell you that God is on your side. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. Now look at this. The Lord is on my side, and I will not fear. What can man do to me? You know, don't let yourself be suffocated, if you will, by any circumstance that happens in your life. We're all going to face things that we don't like, things that hurt us, things that bewilder us. There's going to be times where we go, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. But you know what? You need to remember that when you are being closed in, and no matter what you're facing, even though it seems like it's taking your very breath away and you're just suffocating in these circumstances, God says, listen, I am on your side. I am on your side. The God who created everything that there is, the God who said, let there be light, light was, says this, I'm on your side. The Bible says, is there anything too hard for God? That word hard or difficult is not even in God's vocabulary. Amen? Not at all. Listen, God plus you equal a majority. He's on your side. No matter, well, Bill, but I've done, he's on your side. But you don't understand where I'm at right now. God is on your side. That is the word of God, and you can't change it. And then look at the next part. He says, I will not fear, for what can man do to me? You see, if God is on your side and you truly believe that God is on your side, how in the world can you be afraid? Really, truly, think about that. What did David write, I believe it was, in Psalm 27:1? He said this. He said, the Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength. Of whom shall I be afraid? We have nothing to fear. Amen? Nothing to fear, no matter what we're going through. You know, it says, what can man do to you, in contrast to what God can do for you? You know, I know I use this scripture probably too many times throughout the year, but it's the scripture that I go to often when I am fearful, or when fear is trying to creep up upon me, or when I feel, Lord, nothing is working out in my life. Every plan that I've committed unto your ways, you're changing them, and that's okay, but can you give me a little bit more information as you're changing them? I feel like I'm in the dark, but I'm not in the dark, because the Lord is my light. The Lord is your light. Amen. In this scripture that I often go to, I sit in the same chair, pull out the same Amplified Bible out of my bookcase in my office, and I open it up and I read it to myself and I read it to you right tonight, where it says in Hebrews 13:5, where God says this, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. This should be a word to each and every one of you in 2018. Amen. He says, I will not, three times, I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, nor relax my hold upon you. Assuredly not. So take comfort, take and be encouraged, and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear. I will not dread. I will not be terrified. And then he concludes by asking the same question that we just asked here. What can man do to me? Nothing. Someone said that the fear of God is the fear that cancels out all other fear. Amen? That's all we need to do is just fear the Lord, trust the Lord, be in awe of God, reverence Him. Listen, fear is a horrible thing. You feel it. It's an emotion, isn't it? You know, and it has a voice. Have you ever noticed that? Fear has a voice and you can hear it daily. And if you're not careful, this year, any year, if fear will do something, it'll direct your steps into areas that you don't want to go in your life if you allow it. Not only that, fear can change your destiny because you go, no, I just can't do those things, and it will imprison you. It can actually even paralyze you. And you know what fear really does? The same thing that happened to Timothy. Remember what Paul told Timothy? Do not neglect the gift that God has given unto you. Do you know why so many people neglect the gift that God has already placed them, and every believer has a gift in them, a divine gift from God? Fear, or because they're selfish, or because they don't want to step out and use what God has given unto them. To neglect your gift means the body of Christ will suffer. Amen? That's exactly right. Aren't you glad you're here tonight? This is a good word. This is not a bad word. No, fear, man, you know what God says? I don't want you to be fearful, but I want you to be fearless. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Now, the Lord is not only on your side on this first communion service of 2018, He's on your side every day in 2018, but He's also for you. Look here at verse 7. The Lord is for me. Say that with me. The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. I pray that that's living water, man, to your soul tonight, because we can always stand on the sure, certain word of the living God. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 56:9, this I know, meaning of an absolute certainty as a fact, this I know, God is for me. Do you believe that? Yes, God is for you. He's so much for you, He sent His only begotten Son to die for all of us. Amen? Romans 8:31, you know, if God be for us, who in the world, in their right mind, I'm adding the scripture, of course, would be against us? Amen? God is for you. God is on your side. The Psalm, David said, goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. We have absolutely nothing to be afraid of. Not one circumstance, nothing at all, because God is for us. God is always on our side. You know, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 49:16, God cries out to the nation of Israel, and it's just as good a scripture for us as well. He goes, see. In other words, God says, I want you to look at something. See that I have inscribed you on the palm of my hand. The word in Hebrew, inscribed, means to cut in deeply in order to make something permanent. You have been permanently inscribed in the hand of the living God. Amen? Jesus says no one is able to snatch you out of His hand. No one. Absolutely nothing. If you belong to Him, we're secure. Amen? Now, with all that being said, look at verse 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than put confidence or literally feel safe and trust in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. You know, if you read Psalm 146:3 tonight, you'd find out why. Because God says, you know what? There isn't any help. There's not any help at all. You know, I tell you something. Don't put your trust. Don't put your confidence. Well, that's just late last night or there was something. Our president gave the State of the Union message. You know, I pray that you listen to all of it. But the fact of the matter is, I'm not going to put my trust in the State of the Union message. I pray for the president every day and the House, the Senate, all of them. But you know what? My trust is not in the United States government, although I love our government. Amen. But I pray for them. You know, I certainly don't. My confidence is not in the Republican or Democratic Party. Amen? Now, Bill? No, my trust is in the Lord. My trust is not in, or you trust your retirement account. I hope you have one, but if you don't, if you do, praise the Lord, but don't trust in that. Well, I'm in the stock market. Please don't trust in that. No, listen. No, you know, it's wonderful to have all of those things, but you know, so many people today, I'm amazed at how they trust in man's unlimited knowledge and their unlimited abilities. I mean, man, I tell you, don't ever look to man, you know? Why? Because they're limited. But God is not limited by anything, amen? Jesus said this in Matthew 19:26. He said, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. The Lord said in Jeremiah 33:3, call to me, I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Let us in this year, you know, the windows of heaven God has opened upon this fellowship. You'll find out more about that on Sunday. But you know something, loved one? Let's trust the one who promised us that he had never leave our side. I mean, he's here tonight. He's here with us right now. Jesus told us, he said, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Amen? He's never going to leave our side. Let's trust the one who, when we go to him in prayer and say, Father, forgive us in Jesus' name, he is always ready to truly forgive us and wash us from any sin. Amen? Boy, let's trust him. And you know, remove your eyes from the things of the world. You know what? Remember what Paul said? I believe it's in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's verse 3 or chapter 3, verse 9. He says, all things are yours. All things are yours. You know, we're not of this world, but we have overcome this world. You know, the Bible tells us this, woe to those in Isaiah 31:1, woe to those who go down to Egypt. And remember, Egypt always represents the world, okay? Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they're many and in horsemen because they're strong, but who do not look to the Holy One of Israel nor seek the Lord. Boy, what a horrible thing not to seek the Lord and not to look for him for help. You know something? If we to plan without divine protection is to have no direction or protection in our life. Did you know that? Well, we need to be involved with the things of God. Verse 10, and all nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I'll destroy them. And they surrounded me. Yes, surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord Jesus, or the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. And they surrounded me like bees. In other words, so many, they seemed to be everywhere. They were quenched like the fire of thorns. In other words, just reduced to ash in seconds. And for the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. You pushed me violently that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength. He is my song. He's become my salvation. Now, in verse 15 through 21, they are now literally, this is Passover. They use this song at Passover. They're now getting ready to sacrifice the Passover lamb, if you will, that is killed in the temple. And this also, these verses that I'm about to speak of here, have to do also with the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem. But let's look at verse 15. And the voice of rejoicing and salvation in the tents of the righteous, the right hand of the Lord does valiantly. And the right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die. I shall not die, but live. And do what? And declare the works of the Lord. You know, Luther had that scripture on his wall in his study. I remember a young man in his early 20s when he first stepped out into public ministry, and that was me. And I remember being invited to the very first church to speak in. It was in Lubbock, Texas. The church name was the Church of the Good Shepherd. And the people that picked me up at the airport and drove me to the church, they said, "Look, Bill, let's go on in. I want you to meet everybody." And I said, "Do you mind if I just sit in this car for a moment? And I just kind of want to get my thoughts together and before I come in." Because, see, I'd never, ever preached or taught publicly in a church, in Bible studies, yes, but never in the pulpit. You follow me? And I tell you what, I was terrified. Terrified. I sat in that back seat and I was thinking, is there a highway out of here? And I said, "Lord, I didn't even prepare anything. I don't even know what to do. What do I do? I'll never forget, as I sat there, I opened my Bible and it fell right on that verse, "I shall not die," because I felt like I was going to die, "but live and declare the works of the Lord." That was my sermon. I walked in there and that was my first public speaking in a pulpit in Texas when I was a young man. Isn't God good? You know, and look at verse 18. "And the Lord chastened me severely, but he's not given me over to death." Thank God for that. You know, the Lord chastens those that he loves, doesn't he? He disciplines us. He trains us. It says, "And open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord." So now in their journey, King David, of course, is in this mix here as they're approaching the temple. But if we go to the New Testament, this is when Jesus now is approaching the temple and so forth. And Jesus now enters as the Lamb of God into Jerusalem, the triumphal entry, for inspection, if you will. And it says in verse 20, "And this is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter." We know that there's only one gate, amen? And that gate, the real gate, is Jesus. John 10:9, "I am the door," Jesus said. John 14:6, "I am the truth, the life and the truth, and the way that no man comes to the Father except by me." One day in the future, you know what's going to happen? All of us, we're going to all be together. And one day in the future, like it says here in verse 20, "This is the gate of the Lord through which who enters? The righteous," those who have been declared righteous in Christ, okay? One day, the Bible says in Revelation 22:14, it says, "Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life," speaking of heaven, "and they may have the right to enter through the gates into the city." One day, we who are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, man, we're going to enter that celestial city. What a glorious, incredible day that is going to be. We'll be there inside. But do you know that the Bible says there's someone outside the gate of those city? It says this in the very next verse in Revelation 22:15. "But outside," meaning outside the city of God, there in heaven, "there are dogs and sorcerers, sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie." That's going to be a horrible day for those outside the gate, outside the city. You see, because they know that heaven is going to be real. They know that there's a true Jesus. They know all those things, and they have full knowledge of all that. But see, after death, there's no second chances. It says then in verse 21, "And I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." So Jesus spoke the same words in Matthew's gospel, chapter 21, remember, there at verse 42. And, you know, Jesus is the stone that the builders rejected. You know, they missed their day of salvation, as we already know. They missed that day, the timing of their visitation when Jesus came. But look at verse 24. "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Now, this is speaking of the day of salvation that Jesus brought, okay? This is a song that Jesus was singing there in the upper room as they departed and went out toward the the Mount of Olives. Now, with all that being said, this is the day the Lord has made. May I tell you that you never know the great things that God has for you today unless you're expecting them. The good things that God has. Where you're walking in expectant faith, that you know the Lord is with you, you know He's on your side, you know that He is for you. Today is a very important time, loved one. Listen, I encourage everyone to live now. Live now. Live this minute. Live in the here and now while you have that opportunity. You can't live in the past and you can't live in the future. You can only live in the present. Live now. And when you live, walk in faith, knowing that the Lord is going to help you, knowing that He's never going to forsake you, knowing that in every year of your life until you go home, there's going to be warfare, okay? That's just the way it is. You know, Christianity is not for sissies, is it? No, we have a devil out there. We have the flesh that wars against us. We live in a world that hates us. But you know what? We've overcome the world. Yeah. Man, listen, we win, but live. You know, the psalmist has written in Psalm 90, verse 15, speaking about Moses. He says, "Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which you have seen evil." That's talking about the 40 years of wandering of the children of Israel, that Moses was there with them and he had seen so much death. It was like one long funeral procession, if you will. He buried that first generation. And it goes on to say in Psalm 90, verse 16, "Let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us." Now listen carefully. "And establish the work of our hands for us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. You know what Moses was crying out there? He was going, "Lord, listen, I want the remainder of my life to count." Brother, you know, to count. I was talking to Rebecca, my wife, you know, this afternoon about someone that I buried a long time ago, was not a member of this church, but a dear friend. And I said to her, I said, "It is a sad thing for a man who had such intelligence and who had such financial strength. He was a multi-millionaire to live such a secluded, wasted life." Don't waste your life. Invest your life in the things of God. Amen. That's the only thing that's going to count. That's why the psalmist right there said, "Oh, Lord, listen, make the rest of my life count." And he told us how. He said, "By establishing the work of our hands." In other words, let what I do for you go all the way to eternity. Amen? See, that's the only thing that's going to remain. The Bible teaches us that our works follow us to heaven. You know, the things that we do for the Lord, that's why it's so horrible for us to neglect any of the gifting that God has put in us, you know, to serve Him with. The thing is this, is that we are stewards over what God has given us. We don't own it. The gift that I have is not my gift, it's His gift. Does that make sense? All I can do is be obedient and do whatever the Lord wants me to do with it. Now look at verse 25. It's "Save now," or literally, "Hosanna. I pray, O Lord, O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord." Now, no doubt this is referring to King David when he was entering toward the temple, but this is also referring to the Son of David, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as he was now entering into Jerusalem with what we call the triumphal entry. Remember when this says, "Hosanna, Hosanna, glory to God in the highest, and you know, save us now," and so forth. But what they were really saying is "Save us from Rome." But see, Jesus didn't come to Jerusalem. He didn't come into this world to conquer Rome. He came to conquer man's sin, amen? To conquer death and the one who had power over death, the devil and hell and the grave and sin, all of it. And he did it all for you and he did it all for me. Verse 27 says, "God is the Lord and he has given us light." Isn't that a wonderful thing to give someone? Where we're not walking in darkness anymore. He's given us light, and now we are the light of the world. And this scripture here now, bind the sacrifice with the cords to the horns of the altar. This is without a doubt a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ when they nailed him to the cross for you and for me. And he says in verse 28, you are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you or lift you up. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. As we prepare our hearts tonight for communion, as the ushers come forth, and let's pass out communion tonight, I pray that you prepare, that your hearts, I pray they are prepared right now. But listen to me now. I beg you in Jesus' name, from this day forth, don't believe what I say. Believe what God's just said in his word. The Lord is on your side. Amen? Amen. Do you know, you should say that to yourself every morning, every day, on the way home at night, or off when you're getting home, just the Lord is on my side. Whenever you're faced with a situation, and maybe at work or whatever, you don't have to say it out loud. You can just look at that person that's maybe tormenting you or doing what, and just say, the Lord is on my side. God is for me. Do you understand? See, if you believe that, if you'll let that reside in your heart, if you'll let that be a part of your renewed mind, your day's going to be so much better. You know, we all have days when we get down, don't we? I do. But you know, the thing is, we don't have to stay down. We all have things that come into our life that try to paralyze us or cripple us or make us doubt so many things. But you know what? I have lived long enough now. Well, I know with all of my heart, not with my feelings, not in the emotional realm, but in my heart, the Lord Jesus Christ will never, never, no, never forsake me. He will never forsake you. In my younger days, I know that I said, Lord, why have you forsaken me? But I was wrong. He's always guiding you. He's always guiding me. He's always speaking to us. If we would only open our ears, if we would only turn away from the things that are the circumstances that are trying to hide God from us, that are trying to hide God's open door from us, if we'd quit looking unto those circumstances and look unto the author and the finisher of our faith, amen, that we would run the race with endurance, that man, we would be so light-footed, we would be so happy, so full of joy to follow the Lord, to serve the Lord. This year, the incredible things that God is going to do for this church, already in the making, already just ready to unfold. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, there are good things in your day waiting for you. And there's bad things too. But the bad things are not from God. God's not sending them to you. Do you understand? But what are you going to do with them? Well, the Lord is on your side. This I know, God is for me. No wonder we can say, oh Lord, I give you thanks, for you are good. You know, when we celebrate communion, we do three things, remember? We look back, and we look ahead, and then we look in. Tonight, we, as the family of God, we celebrate our unity. We celebrate our oneness, not our sameness, but our oneness, because we're in Christ Jesus, our Lord. When we come to his table tonight, I pray that we remember that all that we do in remembrance of him. Jesus never told us or commanded us to remember his birth. He said, I want you to remember my death and all that my death means to each and every one of us. That's why the Word of God says this. It says, and when he had given thanks, he broke the bread and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. We remember the Lord's death. We look back and know that he took all of our sin. He died in our place. And when he did, he defeated the devil and hell and sin and all the rest of it. No wonder we can say, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who liveth, but Christ who liveth in me, who loved me and gave himself for me. Well, the faith that we live now, we live through the faith of the Son of God. You know, there's nothing greater than being a Christian. Amen. Knowing that our sins are forgiven, knowing that Jesus died for us. It says, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. This do, and as often as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. Never forget, Jesus said, what I've done for you. Never forget. Jesus doesn't want us to have a conscience that is just beat down all the time. You know, we are conscious. Read Hebrews 10. We have been washed in the blood of Jesus. Amen? Man, listen. Our sins are as far as the east is from the west. They're forgotten and forgiven by God. Leave them in the sea of eternal forgetfulness. Don't pull them back up, and don't let sin master your life. You don't have to. No, just trust the living God. So we look back, and now we look ahead. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you preach or proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. That looks ahead, doesn't it? Till he comes. You know, this morning when Billy, the guy on the dog walk, was walking his dog, he goes, and I said, look at that. I said, don't you see the lunar eclipse? He says, what? And he looked, said, oh, wow, man, you know. He says, maybe that's prophetic. I'm going, well, that's good. Let's talk a little Bible this morning, shall we? Jesus is coming. That is prophetic. That is a prophetic promise. And he says, I'm coming quickly when he does, suddenly, unexpectedly, meaning the rapture. He says, watch, watch, be ready, watch, for you do not know the hour. You don't know the day. You don't know when I'm coming. So be ready. And the only way that we can be ready is to live a life of faith, trusting God. Every day we can say, Lord, is this today? Looking for him, loving his appearing. That's what it's all about. And then the scripture says, in one of the most important ones now about tonight, we look within now. He says, therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. So let a man examine himself, and then let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So tonight, as I too celebrate with my wonderful family, what a privilege and an honor it is to do this. Amen? I mean, when it comes to communion, I don't want to be anyplace else but right here tonight. You see, because Jesus is with us. Where two or more are gathered in his name, he is in the midst of them. This is his table. It is not our table. His table, loved one, it's not going to last forever. It's not permanent. Jesus is going to come one day. You know what? Whatever we're laying up for in this year, I'm not saying that the Lord can't come today or tomorrow, but you know something? It may be he's coming in 2019. I don't know. Are you really ready for that? Have you examined your heart? No, I mean, are you? If Jesus came tonight, would you change anything today? Would you change any lifestyle? The morals in your home, are they the same right now in this church? What you do there, is it the same that you do here? Oh, may God cleanse our hearts. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we want our entire lifestyle to match yours. We want to love like you love and forgive like you forgive. We want to walk like you walk. We look within our hearts, oh Lord. Please search us out and find if there be any unclean, wicked thing. Look deeply, oh Lord, and then forgive us. Wash us. Draw us near as we draw nigh unto you. We remember all that you've done for us now tonight, Lord. We're your family. We're indeed the sheep of your pasture. And what we do now, we do in remembrance of you, Jesus, our Lord. Let us partake of the bread. Lord, thank you for being on our side, even when we are stiff-necked, rebellious. Even when we are faithless, you remain faithful, for you cannot deny yourself. You are the God who cannot lie. And Lord, we know that the blood of Jesus has cleansed us from all sin. Oh God, we're so thankful. We're so thankful. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name, let us partake of the cup. Well, Lord, we thank you now for the first communion service of 2018. And now tomorrow we start a brand new month. Oh, Lord, next month we celebrate 25 incredible years of your divine faithfulness. There's no one like you. You have never, never once let this church down. Never have you. You have never, Lord, never not met a need at this place called Calvary Chapel. I am excited, Father, to celebrate with your sheep in the next 3 weeks, Lord. Celebrate 25 years of your faithfulness at this place called Calvary Chapel. Bless your people, Lord. Keep them tonight in all your ways. Lord, give them safe journey home. May they sleep perfectly while the one who never slumbers watches over them. Oh God, we love you. Jesus, we praise you. Holy Spirit, we need you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? We're going to close with a song as we always do. And when the song is over, you know there'll be people down here at the front at the altar. If you need prayer for anything.